Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 11 o'clock on the East Coast, 8 o'clock on the West Coast. I am your host, Ace Diamond. This is Matt Chat. And tonight we will be joined by a very special guest, Indiana and Illinois independent wrestler, Brutalicious Nick Cutler, will be joining the show momentarily, along with hopefully our guest, or our co-host, the Fat Man Rob Fatone, who for some reason has not called into the show yet, but that is okay. First, I want to mention the fact that former three-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns was suspended today for 30 days for his first offense for failure of the wellness policy. And hopefully that will be his one and only offense, and it doesn't derail his career like some wellness policy violations have derailed other careers. But I don't think that will really happen because Roman seems to be a Vince McMahon guy, so I really believe that his career is going to be just fine. Other than that, we've got a great show, as I said. Nick Cutler will be joining us shortly. And so if you want to call in, ask questions, talk to, holy smokes, they are lining up like crazy on the switchboard. And I do believe we finally have our guest, Nick Cutler. You are on the air.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Doing great. Okay, I am sort of familiar with your work, as we discussed earlier. As we were lining up this interview, but for the fans who don't know anything about you, how did you get your start in the business? Where did you start out?
I started out of Windy City Wrestling in Chicago, Illinois, right pretty much at the tail end of when that was closing down. Ace Steel, Danny Dominion, all the guys that had originally pretty much started it were already gone. The one who had the most hands-on access to me when I was training was Steve Boz. So twice a week for 2 years, I was driving over to Chicago training with Debuted in September of 2007. Since then, I pursued other training at my own expense. I've done training with Harley Race at his school, Ring of Honor camps twice, Evolve, any real good learning experience I still go ahead and do. So very well schooled, very well traveled.
How did you get, now I first became aware of you at HWA in Hamilton, Ohio. How did you get your foot in the door there?
Well, I was dating a girl at the time who was getting ready to graduate college. I was living over here. We were still dating. We decided to move to Cincinnati together because that's where she was getting transferred to after she finished up with her degree. I didn't have anything tying me down over here. I just had like a, you know, BS full-time job to work while I was still wrestling on the weekend. So I reached out to Billy Rock and a few other people who I knew who had some connections over there. They put me in touch with Tim Taylor, who was running it at the time because it had already changed hands from Les to him. And so I pretty much had a couple months worth of bookings lined up already before I even set foot over the state line. So, and then I friendship developed with Tim almost instantaneously. He was a big fan of my work. So being over there for some of the, for a year and working with Dave and Jake Crist and a lot of the other guys that are over there, that was actually a really big learning experience for me, because at the time, you know, I had been wrestling for 5 years, but I was always wrestling out of pretty much the same area, so Chicago, you know, in Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin. Occasionally, I would travel elsewhere depending on where the bookings took me, but typically, even if I was going to different promotions in the same state, a lot of the same talent was being used, so I wasn't getting in the ring with guys who were different. So going over there and having a completely different set of guys, because then you got all the guys in Ohio. I was going to Kentucky, Virginia. So that's how I got set up over there. And then once things fell through with the girl, I ended up moving back up north.
Yeah, it seems like those wrestling relationships aren't really meant to mix.
No, I mean, I've had my fair share that have fallen through because of it, but I mean, I'm married now, so, I mean, it's still a pain in the ass to her, I'm sure, but she deals with it better than anybody else I've ever been with, so that's why I put a ring on her finger.
Hey, that's what I've always said. If I can find somebody that can put up with my mild obsession with wrestling, which is a severe understatement,
mm-hmm.
then I will marry her immediately.
It's a good choice.
And I'm a little bit older than you. Still haven't found the one. But...
What was it?
I said, I'm a little bit older than you, still haven't found the one. So, and I think my co-host dropped off, and that's a jerk thing to do. But it's okay.
Sure, I'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. So, since leaving HWA, which was quite a while ago, I know. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when they left Hamilton. What have you been up to since then? Well, we seem to have lost all but one of our callers. Have seemed to have dropped off the air. Our guest, Nick Cutler, has dropped off, and I don't know what happened. If you're listening and you could call back in, that'd be great. And Mr. Cutler, we seem to have lost connection there for a second.
Yes, we did.
So.
But I'm back. You were saying after I left HWA, what was the question?
Yeah. What has been. What has your career been like since then?
Well,
I know that's a bit of a wide range of
in the
time.
Last 12 months, things have really, really picked up for me. Talks from major companies finally have been put into place. Nothing major or concrete, but it's very, very motivating after being in for 9 years to finally get some semblance of opportunity, which just stood to motivate me even more than I already was. I did the Evolve tryout in Dallas WrestleMania weekend, which has led to me getting ready to start with Full Impact Pro in Florida. That's just a matter of time. I'm tentatively due to start with them in July. Haven't been given complete confirmation yet, but it's in the works. I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, trying to get out of my normal area, focusing on developing more of a following as opposed to staying at the same promotions month after month after month, which is what I had been doing for a while. I was with Pro Wrestling Blitz every month for 3 years. I just recently didn't end my relationship with them, but I'm on more of a sabbatical. Great Lakes Championship Wrestling and Wisconsin that does the Blizzard Brawl shows and involved with them. Heroes and Legends in Fort Wayne. I'm usually on all of their shows. So things are really picking up. Things are getting busy. Definitely developing more of a following, which is what I'm trying to do. Doing a lot more traveling, getting into those different states that I haven't been to. Due to start working with a couple of promotions in Carolina at the end of this year. So just taking things day by day, just making sure I stay focused and keep my eyes where they need to be.
Okay, and hang on just a second because my co-host has finally decided that he wants to rob your own ear.
Finally decided my ass. I've been on the phone since 11:02. Don't make me come down there and kick your hobbit ass. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing good.
You, Rob, you actually dropped off, so.
Yeah, I did drop off. I walked through the kitchen and, you know, my cell phone died, so.
Anyway. Cutler, this is my co-host, Rob Fatone.
How you doing, sir?
Doing good. Doing good.
So, tell me you've got a question.
Yeah, I was told you were from the Indiana, Illinois area. What all companies do you work at out that way?
Up till recently, my mainstays were Pro Wrestling Blitz, Great Lakes Championship Wrestling. I still work for Pro Wrestling King in Indiana. Man, it's hard for me to keep track. I've been going a lot of different places. Start with Crash Tested Wrestling and this Saturday in Munster, Indiana. A couple of other random places in Wisconsin. I've gotten to the point where I'm not really wrestling for anybody on a monthly basis, regularly, so to speak. It's really date by date by date. Strong Style
okay.
Wrestling has picked me up for the last few months. I just did the Indie PopCon in Indianapolis for them this last Saturday. And they have another big show coming up on July 30th and then again on August 20th where they've got Damian Sandow and Bullet Club guy, Chase. Chase Owens.
Chase Owens, yeah, that's it.
Yes. And then I'm actually due to debut for Global Force when they are in Valparaiso on July 28th.
Now, before my phone messed up, I heard something, I heard something about Impact. Was that the Impact or was that a different Impact?
Full Impact Pro.
Okay.
They are in the WWN network, so Full Impact, Evolve, American Combat Wrestling. I believe Top Tier Wrestling in New York is part of their company as well. They just do the online pay-per-views and streaming network services. Everybody, you know, it's common knowledge written on the wall that whole network of promotions, Full Impact, American Combat, and definitely Evolve are becoming very much a feeder system for NXT and WWE. So as soon as that writing on the wall started to appear, I made it a point to do the next Evolve camp that became available, which was in April in Dallas. Me and a buddy of mine went down there and did it. And made some calls afterwards. They were impressed enough with my performance to start using me on their other promotions, not Evolve yet. But like I said, full Impact, I'm hopefully due to start in July. So that'll be a big step. Plus, you know, monthly trips to Orlando aren't anything that I'm going to complain about.
Never complain about traveling.
No. Especially not to Orlando, Florida.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you got to do it on the tourists
but
and the old people.
Stay out of any lagoons down there.
I'm going to be pretty busy while I'm down there between making sure I make it to the gym still. And I'm actually friends with Jason Ayers, and so hopefully I'll be running into him down there as well. And then, I mean, their double shot shows, I believe Full Impact runs on Friday in Orlando, and then American Combat runs in Tampa on Saturday. So I'll be driving down to Orlando, wrestling in Orlando, driving over to Tampa the next day, wrestling in Tampa, and then I'll be driving back up to Indiana. So,
why not try a Tuesday and try to get that one company down there in Orlando? I mean, I hear it's free to get in.
Which one?
Impact.
He's referring to TNA.
Oh, you're referring to TNA.
Yeah, it was a joke.
We don't really like to drop their name, but
hey, the way I see it, I don't like a lot of the TNA bashing that goes on. I get that they are obviously less than they're not working with a full bowl of with a full set of screws. But at the same point in time, and a lot of people don't like this argument, but I think it's the only argument that matters. It's a place for us to go to work. It's a place for us to make money. It's a place for us to get exposure. The more places that there are for us to be able to go, the better. Any old-timer wrestler, that's one of the things that, you know, they emphasize is the more companies that there are, the better, because it allows us to be able to leverage and be able to make more money and to get more things that we want and to just have other places to go when we run sales someplace else. So I don't want to see it close. I definitely hope that it's – go ahead.
The only thing I have against TNA is the type of business that they tend to run. They want to sell so much of the business, Dixie Carter's got to remain in control after they sold 51% of the company. I don't understand who in their right mind makes that type of business deal. But again, you know, Billy Corrigan isn't really in his right mind.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's something.
I talked to guys that work there who I'm friends with. Not that I'm getting names. But one of the things that they said that they think needs to happen for the company to be more successful is Dixie needs to be removed from power. She needs to be like a silent holder. But she, I mean, when do you see Vince McMahon on Twitter, you know, begging for followers and asking people to watch Raw and asking people to watch SmackDown and forcing storylines on Twitter? Like, you don't see him do that. But Dixie Carter likes to be in that spotlight, it seems to me. And I mean, I get that they're a pain. I've heard horror stories. I'm friends with, you know, some of the people that help run AAW in Berwyn. And to book TNA talent is actually very, very difficult because guys like, you know, Trevor Lee and Marche Rocket, Pepper Parks, all these guys that are still heavily involved on the independents, they don't know when the TV tapings are going to be, sometimes a couple of weeks in advance. And so a promoter will reach out to talent and say, we want to book you for this date on this weekend, and they're not able to take the booking because they've been told that they might have tapings that weekend. And so promoter books other talent, And then that talent says, hey, we don't have tapings that weekend. I can be available. And then, A, that talent's either left off the show because the show's already been booked up and they weren't able to get there on time, or B, the promoter books the talent to keep them happy, and then they're overstaffed and over budget. So either way, they make it somewhat difficult for promoters to work with their talent, which, I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, they're not really too concerned with. But from our point of view, we want to be able to make as much money as we can. And so I know I would be pretty peeved off if I told a promotion no because I thought that there was going to be TV tapings, and then there ended up not being TV tapings, and then that's money that you just took out of my pocket. So I sincerely hope they get their act together and something happens where they can actually get back to their glory days. People have been saying that the company is going to close for 5 years now. It still hasn't. So,
yeah, that's
it. Just, I mean, it just keeps going. I mean, it may be buried in a different channel that you have to search for 3 days, but you end up finding it.
Yeah. I think they've been extremely lucky with getting their TV deals.
Well, I mean, the next logical choice, I mean, if they get booted off of Pop, I mean, there's plenty of other channels they can go to. I mean, even if they have to, they could easily go to, you know, the network TVs and, you know, go to antenna TVs. There's plenty of antenna channels that take them, and they could potentially, you know, become underground classics again, or, you know, a cult following, and kind of like ECW did back in the day. And
that's what did the trick with them before.
Yeah.
I think they need to find a network like that, that it's easily accessible, but then again, you know, not many people watch it. Because I think that will actually give them a bigger following.
Yeah, because I know I talked to a few people and they didn't even know Pop was a channel. Hell, I didn't even know Pop was a channel until 3 months ago.
I had never even heard of it, and I couldn't tell you what channel it's on. But then again, I don't watch a lot of wrestling anyway, and I do a lot of. I'm not usually home by the time Raw goes off TV, so I usually catch that on Hulu and SmackDown. Again, on Hulu, whenever I have the time, I watch more network than I do the live product. So,
yeah, it's usually a DVR type deal for me. You know, I DVR through it, watch what I want, and delete it when I'm done.
Speaking of the network, since you said that's what you watch the most, what is your favorite thing to watch on the network?
I couldn't even begin to tell you. I'm such a huge wrestling nerd. I'm definitely, you know, I got a lot of buddies who they can't stand to watch it once they started wrestling. They just feel like it's working. They don't like watching. They can't watch it as a fan. They hate watching it as far as studying it goes, but I can still sit there. I mean, I have a desk job for my full-time job, and I literally sit there while I'm on the phone all day for 8 hours and watch the WWE Network. It really depends on what tickles my fancy at that particular moment. I don't watch a lot of like the specials and stuff like that. I'll just randomly pick like a month and a year, and I will watch all the Raws and SmackDowns leading up to the pay-per-view, and then I'll watch the pay-per-view. My favorite year in wrestling as a fan was 1997, so I'm working through there right now for the Raws and the Nitros, so.
Yeah, I'm actually a year behind you on that. I'm actually working through 1996. My plan is actually, I'm trying to follow the entire NWO storyline from beginning to end. So.
Well, but it never ended.
I know, but.
We'll cut it off at 98.
Right. I don't think it still has ended, honestly. But
were they just at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Fade out.
Yeah, I'm fishing. Rod, jump in here anytime.
I've been trying to get into this company down in Indiana for a minute. You know, it's kind of a controversial company, but you know, I like to ask people, what's your view on death matches?
I have really tried to become more open to other forms of sports entertainment other than what tickles my fancy. But I just can't understand the appeal. You're literally watching human carnage. It's almost, I feel like I'm watching a Saw movie sometimes. Like, it's gore porn. It's ridiculous. I was scrolling through Twitter today, and I saw a picture of some guy walking, and I don't know if it was it was the King of the Death Matches last weekend.
I believe
Prince
it was
of the Death Matches or something like that.
Yeah.
One of those damn Death Matches. That moron Ian Rotten runs. But it's a fan walking behind this guy, and they got their phone on his back, and his back is, you can literally see, like, I don't know what the hell happened to him, but you can literally see shreds of skin and chunks of skin just hanging from his back. His entire back is covered in blood. You can see dirt and grime and all this stuff, other stuff on it. So I'm just sitting here thinking, number one, ow. Number two, Infection City. Number three, why? Are you going to go into that locker room and you're going to get handed an envelope with $30 in it? If that, especially if it's IWA. There is not an amount of money in the world that would possess me to want to do that to my body. None. And the old me would sit there and tell you that anybody that is willing to do it is stupid. But I've become a little bit more tolerant of it these days as I get a little older. You know, Drake Younger was a buddy of mine on the Independence, and he did it for how many years? So if it's your calling, if it's something that you can handle and something that you want to do, then more power to you. But it's not something that I'll ever watch. It's not something that I'll ever support, and it's not something that I'll ever understand. So,
well,
I can't understand the appeal from a wrestler standpoint, and I can't understand the appeal from a fan standpoint either. I'm a big fan of Bret Hart's outlook on wrestling in the sense that wrestling is art, and there's no art to me in just going out there and beating the hell out of each other with weapons and doing dangerous, outlandish things for shock value. You can only push the envelope so far. And then people are going to ask for more because they become immune to seeing this bloody, horrific pictures of guys in the ring. And it's just like, where does it stop? And there has to be some sort of line, and that line just keeps getting pushed further and further and further. And I'm not looking forward to, you know, the day when I get on Twitter and I see that some guy was killed in a match because he tried to do something stupid, or because he lost too much blood, or because he got an infection, or it's more bad publicity, more potential bad publicity that the wrestling business really doesn't need. So
that actually, you talking about the story brings up a question for me that I've actually been thinking about for a while. Do you believe that the art of storytelling is slowly going away in wrestling?
Part of me says yes, the other part of me is trying to look at it in a more tolerant manner. To me, says that pro wrestling is for everyone. And so it goes back to, you know, the Jim Cornette reference when he's talking about Vince and his outlook on sports entertainment. And it's just like, you know, do you like chocolate or do you like vanilla? You cannot like chocolate, but you don't have to eat it. As long as you can have your vanilla, you can do whatever with the chocolate. So it's a matter of your own personal taste. Some people like wrestling. Some people like high flying. Some people like strong style. Some yahoos like death matches. Some people like a choreographed acrobatic display of moves and, you know, things like the Will Ospreay Ricochet match. Whatever your form of professional wrestling is that you like, that's on you. That's one of the reasons why I love pro wrestling, because it's literally got something for everybody. I don't necessarily like all of the things that are out there. I know I could never do a match like Will Ospreay and Ricochet did, just like I could never do a death match, or, you know, you won't see me doing a lot of high-flying stuff either. I appreciate that style. It's just not something that I do. But again, it goes back to how much can you get away with before fans just become accustomed to it and they expect more and more and more and more and more. But on the flip side, you know, in 1992, the guys from the 70s were saying that, you know, the business was getting killed. And the same thing was said in 2000 about the guys from the 80s. And it's always going to be here. It's always going to evolve. I used to be steadfast in how I worked and how I felt and my philosophies, and that was one of the things that held me back for a few years, I think. So knowing that I need to roll with how things change has made me a little bit more tolerant towards different types of wrestling, even ones that don't tell that much of a story.
That was a follow-up question. Referencing back to the show last week, I also brought up kayfabe. The kayfabe is apparently a lost cause, if you would, in today's wrestling. It's with Ring of Honor matches. It's getting more and more apparent that it's gone. Where's your stance on this?
It doesn't bother me as much as it does a lot of other people. Day and age, with social media, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and just, there's easier access to talent, easier access to talent lives. It doesn't really bother me. It's not like in the 90s when it just was coming out and there was still a huge portion of the world that felt like it was a legitimate sport. So I'm not like one of those guys that's just like, kayfabe, duh, we need to bring it back. You know, I'm not upset that it's dead. I believe that it is. I'm not out there telling people how I'm doing matches. I'm not telling people who's going to win and who's going to lose. I'm not doing anything like that. But if I'm a heel at a promotion and somebody comes up to me and says hi to me, I'm not going to tell them to piss off because I'm supposed to be a heel. So those days I feel like are gone, and for the better. I mean, it's easier for me to sell shirts and pictures to everybody if I can be nice when I'm not in the ring. Some people don't agree with that philosophy. Some people are like, oh, if you're a heel and you're selling merchandise, you're not doing your job. No, because it's a different day and age than it was back then. So,
I once had this discussion with Shane Douglas before, and he once told me that even as a heel, you can still sell merchandise. And if you're selling merchandise as a heel, it means you're doing a damn good job. Now, with wrestling evolving and changing and all that, the storytelling is changing and evolving and so on and so forth. And pretty soon you have just people cheering for the sake of cheering. And you see where I'm going with this?
From what? Is it leading to a question? Or?
Yeah, it was actually.
Huh?
Give me a second here. Okay. Where wrestling is evolving, do you see a point to where it would evolve to the point to where it could potentially be harmful, to the point to where we would have to turn around and look at it and say, where did we screw up?
No. The way that I see it right now is, you know, independent wrestling is, you know, there's almost like a reemergence of it. It's becoming more popular. More and more promotions are doing well. More and more wrestlers are getting out there and getting their names out there. And it's all with kayfabe dead. You know, one of the biggest killers of kayfabe is Twitter and Facebook and all these other forms of social media. That's also one of the biggest reasons why we're able to get noticed and one of the biggest reasons why we're able to accrue followings. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I spent a weekend in down south for St. Louis Anarchy last month, and that one weekend spent down there resulted in 30 or 40 more Twitter followers instantaneously because they didn't know my name down there. And then it's just, and the thing is, when I first started wrestling back in 2007, about a year in, so sometime in 2008, I know it was still when OVW was the developmental territory for WWE. And Jerry Lawler was there. And out of his mouth, he said that WWE did not want to hire people who were already established on the independents, who had these cult followings, because they didn't want to have to break them of what they thought were bad habits that they picked up on the independents and then pretty much retrain them their way. So don't worry about traveling. Don't worry about doing this. Just keep working your local independent shows. Keep sending us tape, and if we want you, we'll find you. That's what I was told in 2008. If you fast forward to 2016, and my most recent conversation with the company was, you know, you don't meet our hiring priorities right now because you don't have enough of a following on the independents. So it's literally the exact opposite of what they were looking for when I first started. And so having that cult following on the independents, having the 5,000 or 10,000 Twitter followers and being able to bring in fans from all walks of life, whether you're a heel, whether you're a babyface, will work for you because that's exactly what they're looking for now. So I don't think at this point we're ever going to say, oh, you know, maybe we did something wrong. No, we just did something different. And I don't think it's a bad different. Some old timers don't like it, but you know, some old timers also don't like that Dean Ambrose is the WWE champion right now.
Yeah.
So things change. Like everything, like it's a stupid cliche, but everything evolves. So you can either change with it or you can get left behind. I don't plan on getting left behind. So wherever things go, I'm going with them. So Hey, you know what? If you don't like today's wrestling product and you like the 90s, that's what the WWE Network is for. And people act like because things change that they're never going to be able to have those that type of product again. No, you can. It's $10 a month. That is the best $10 a month that I spend. It's literally, if you're a wrestling fan and you don't have it, you're stupid. Like, because there's really no reason to not have that network. So I don't understand the concept of people complaining about the way that things have changed. If you don't like the current product, then don't watch it. Watch a different product. Get the network and watch the old program that you like to watch. Go to an independent show. Sign up for Evolve's video on demand service. Sign up for Full Impact's video on demand service. The concept of complaining about wrestling changing is foreign to me because you literally have online access to whatever kind of wrestling you want. So why complain about
independent
it?
Independent wrestling channel
just,
on the road to me.
Was that, Rob?
If you have a Roku or a smart TV or anything with Roku on it, there's an independent wrestling channel where people upload their stuff to the independent wrestling channel on Roku, and you can watch stuff from around the world, independent wrestling channel.
Yeah, and you just said around the world, like, yeah, so we're just talking about stuff in the United States. New Japan's becoming more commercial. Lucha Underground is coming more. I mean, technically, that's still the United States, but still. AAA in Mexico. Now, come on, don't sit there and complain about wrestling changing. And now I'm getting sick.
You know, I actually understand your frustration with that because I'm one of the guilty people who has complained about wrestling changing, and I tend to watch more of the older stuff.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't like this product, I'm going to watch this. There aren't very many TV shows that I like watching on TV right now. I'm pretty sure there's two shows that are currently in syndication that I watch. Gotham and The Big Bang Theory. Why? Because there's not a lot on TV that I really like watching. Does that mean I just shit on TV? No, I don't shit on TV. You know what I do? I've got all 10 seasons of Friends. I have all 10 seasons of Smallville. I have all 4 seasons of Alf. I've got multiple seasons of The Simpsons. I have Hulu so I can watch Family Guy. It's just, I watch what I want to watch. I don't complain about the fact that the shows aren't in syndication anymore. I just go back and watch them. Man, I'm watching Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, but, you know, I could really go for some Bret Hart. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on the WWE Network and I'm going to watch Bret Hart. I'm not going to sit here and complain about how Roman Reigns sucks or how Dean Ambrose sucks. He wears jeans and a tank top. No, I'm going to get on to the WWE Network. I'm going to go back to 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, and I'm going to watch Bret Hart. They're not going to complain about it. So.
And if your biggest complaint about Dean Ambrose is his ring gear, then you really don't have a whole lot to complain about because John Cena.
Cena's been doing it for years.
Yep.
I think the whole, I think it's a lot of it's rooted in jealousy. Let me preface this by saying I've only met Ambrose, I met him on the Independence right before he moved to Florida. I think I saw him at one show in Cincinnati when I had moved to Ohio before he actually packed up and moved down there for FCW. But the guy wore trunks, he had boots, he had knee pads, he came out to the ring in a black denim jacket. That was his gear when he was in FCW. That was his gear once FCW changed to – because he got called up before it changed to NXT. He did not start wearing the Shield stuff until he got called up to the main roster, and then he switched over to the jeans and the tank top. Now, there is going to be some idiot out there that says, oh, Dean Ambrose wears this, so I can do it too. No, you can't. because, number one, you're not wrestling on national TV every single week. Number two, you never actually wore a pair of tights or a pair of boots or a pair of knee pads like Dean Ambrose did as Jon Moxley on the independent circuit for how many years before he finally got signed? Number three, do you really think it is his call to wear that gear? Do you really think that he walked in there and said, I'm going to wear jeans and a tank top? No. Let me tell you, I've been an extra for WWE. That place is micromanaged. You are told what you're going to wear. You're told what color you're going to do. All of those things are pretty much laid out for you. So, I was friends with Justin King when he was a ref. When he was in FCW, he told me a story about how Vince McMahon was just paid a visit to the performance, to the developmental territory, checking out some of the talent, system that they had down there, so on and so forth. He walked by one of the wrestlers as they were working out in the ring and said that he did not like his beard and told him to shave it off. The next day, when the wrestler came back, he had not shaved off his beard, and the coaches made him go home to do it. That is how controlling it is there. And there's a reason why. It's because, it's number one, it's a publicly traded company. Number two, it's a television product. It's not an independent promotion where I can decide how I look, what I wear, what I dress, the way that I act, so on and so forth. No, you're a part of the WWE machine at that point. So you do what you're told. I can guarantee you that it is not Ambrose's call to wear the jeans and the tank top. So for people to sit there and say it's a disgrace that the WWE champion is wearing jeans and a tank top, Mick Foley wore a torn up, okay? Like, that argument is invalid at that point.
Yeah.
Hell, Cena's been, what, 15 years now with fucking jean shorts and high tops?
Jeans, yeah. Shorts, and then switches to khaki shorts. Baby, you up? It's 10:49. Well, I thought you had your alarm set on your phone. Because you told me to bring it in there to you. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
You good?
But we're about out of time, so if you want to start plugging your long list of future shows,
this Saturday I'll be in Munster, Indiana for Crash Tested Wrestling. The week after that I'm scheduled to be at the Six Flags Great America shows for Great Lakes Championship Wrestling. Al Snow, Ken Anderson, and Katie Forbes will be present. Hopefully be starting with Full Impact. Definitely debuting for Global Force on July 28th in Valparaiso. It's going to be a huge show. Obviously, the regular Global Force stars will be there. Jeff Jarrett, Cole Cabana, Sanjay Dutt. Not too sure what other stars they've announced for the show yet, but I know that I will be performing there. And you can follow me on Twitter at Cutler Coalition and add me on Facebook, just Nick Cutler. I pretty much accept anybody as long as you're not rude.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and end the end this interview early since I think we've run out of questions. So,
all right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on here.
Thanks for being on.
Yes,
no problem,
you
guys. Have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
That was our guest, Nick Cutler. And you heard where you can check him out. And just from my experiences, I strongly suggest if you're in the area of any of those shows, you make it a point to check it out because he is well worth the price of admission, in my opinion. But I do want to give a shout out to former HWA heavyweight champion, and Cincinnati, Ohio boy Dean Ambrose for winning the, first of all, the Money in the Bank contract, and then the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the same night. So shout out to him. And Rob, I hear you're the Cuffed for Wrestling commissioner now.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. But what I would like to talk about is, first off, I'd like to give a shout out to the 2016 Prince of the Deathmatch, Joseph Schwartz, you know, he's a friend of mine. I'd like to give a shout out to him. You can catch him at this Thursday at Jeremy's Roller Dome at Clarksville, Indiana, IWA Mid-South. Also on the card, Randy West, Thunder Kitty, Tracy Smothers is also on the card. Go check that out this Thursday. Yeah, I'm the TPW commissioner, you know. That happened. I made some phone calls and, you know, lawyers did some things and pulled some strings, and I'm the commissioner because, you know, I'm out of action for a while, so I needed something to do. So, yeah, I figured I'd go have fun for a little bit.
Sounds like a good gig.
I will say that this past Saturday that Novocaine thought he could pull a slick one right in front of me, you know, tried to test my authority for a minute. And he tried to low blow poor Taboo right in front of me, and I had to call it, and, you know, I saw it. So Taboo got a win over Novocaine, you know. I mean, I had to see that. I mean, you know, I had to. He did it right in front of me. I had to call it. I mean, he tried to test my authority.
Yeah, he's one that likes to test people's authority, and I don't get that, but on the other hand, I do get that because I used to like to test people's authority all the time.
Yeah, but Ace, see, this is me, and, you know, we all know how I roll. I won't hesitate to knock a motherfucker out. So, and I get this really, really tall guy, and it's not the same tall guy because he went and he's stuck on Novocaine's jock now. But I got this one really, really tall guy. He's been, you know, kind of security guy. He's cool as hell, you know, but he kind of sticks by me when I'm out there. So I dare somebody to screw with him. But, you know, I'm working on some better personal security.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. Big guy, you know.
Yeah, he is a pretty big guy. So.
Yeah, but Kevin Cook, you know, I will say Kevin Cook, he's over there on Novocaine's jock, you know. I asked him the other night if he was catching or if he was swallowing. He never did give me an answer. So I think he's doing both. But it's still not confirmed yet. So, I mean, he may be doing all three. I don't know. But anyway, so how are you, Ace? How have you been? You know, we got a couple minutes left, you know.
I'm doing pretty well. I've managed to stay healthy. Let me knock on wood real quick.
Yeah.
With my health, you never know that how that's going to go. I've got a few things in the works. A few new ideas have popped into my head in the past hour or so. So, I may be working on some new things.
Well, I know. I got a guest for next week. If you just want to do a half hour show, you know, we can do just like a quick little half hour show. I got the perfect guest for that little half hour show. You know, I won't announce him right now. you know, I'll hit you up in a little PM on that their Facebook thing, you know, the My Book or the Face Space or whatever it's called.
Yeah, you can send me a private message on Facebook. Let me know. And maybe we can work something out.
I mean, like I said, it could be a special 30-minute edition. You know, it ain't got to be nothing too big for him. You know, but he really wants a match yet. And I mean, you know, I told him I see what I could do. You know, you were the host; I'm just a co-host. You know, I mean, this is HFW Radio, but you know, I told him I had to talk to you.
This is Matt Chat. I knew you were going to slide one in there on me because you haven't in a couple of weeks. I've been able to catch you. So I knew you were going to get one in on me. But send me a private message. Let me know who it is and we'll discuss it and maybe we'll work something out.
All right. Yeah, I'll hit you up.
But big name, local name.
What?
You gotta give me something. Big name, local name.
Oh yeah,
nationally known.
Yeah. No, local name,
Local name.
Like I said, he ain't nothing big, a little 30-minute special, you know.
All right. Well, got about a minute and a half here, so...
I mean, he's probably listening right now. He's one of your biggest fans. He listens just about every show since I told him about the show, you know. He ain't got nothing else better to do. He's sitting at work. You know,
has he been on since we returned?
I don't know, probably. I don't remember. You asking me to remember something?
That's a good point. I really don't want to have somebody on that's been on in the past 2 months.
I think he's called in, but I don't think we've actually interviewed him.
All right. Well, we've only got about a minute left, so...
That's Ace Diamond. I'm the Fat Man, Rob Fatone. Thanks for listening to HFW Radio. Everybody have a good evening.
That was the Fat Man Rob Fatone. I'm Ace Diamond. This has been Matt Chat on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next week when apparently we're going to have a very special guest. Good night, everybody.